Anyone who lives with anger against their husband, their wife, their ex, their exes, their parents, their co-workers, their friends, against anyone who lives with that anger, stands in judgment. Unattended anger can be deadly. It needs attending. And if you don't, it will most assuredly get worse and most definitely spread to those all around you. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Let the good people say, Amen. 1,985 years ago on February 16th, Jesus was gathering with more and more people. He had collected more and more interest because he was healing people and he was doing it for free. That was an unusual thing. And he spoke against the Roman Empire. As the crowds enlarged, they began to include very well-dressed people from the Panhellenic Council, deltas, young people self-described as travelers who have run away from situations. The only thing they could think to do was run away from them. And all sorts of other people, even a few Pharisees, were gathered around. And as he collected with them on the corner of Canal and Jeff Davis in the Flatlands, he preached his now famous Sermon of the Flatlands. Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the peacemakers. And on and on and on he went. About 20 minutes into this sacred text, a young woman, a self-described traveler who hadn't yet even looked at Jesus, just picking on her little guitar, said without looking up, "Can I ask you a question?" She said, "I know the empire is twisted, and I love all this kumbaya stuff you've been preaching all day. But I don't have all day, and I've got something personal I need to ask you about. And I've heard you give good advice, so that's why I'm here." She said, "I'm only 19 years old, and already I have a lot of anger in my heart." An older woman from the Panhellenic Council said, "Get used to it, baby. It don't get any better." Somebody else said, "I got some anger. You want some of mine?" The young woman, she didn't even notice. She said, "Some days, just about everybody makes me angry. Some Joe just walks by and says good morning, and I say, what's so good about it, buddy?" Two young men sitting not too far away, a little too intimately sitting next to each other to go unnoticed. One says out loud, "I resent my parents. I know they wish I was somebody else." Another young woman says, "I'm angry at my boyfriend. He can't even remember me on Valentine's Day." The other woman from the Panhellenic Council says, "That's not your boyfriend's problem. Why are you dating boys who can't remember you on Valentine's Day? I'd say you got a problem." That only made her angrier. Then the woman went on. She says, "But listen, if we're going to get real for once, I'm angry too." Someone yells out, "Hard to tell, lady." She goes on, "I'm angry at my old man." "What about?" somebody said. She said, "Just about every time he opens up his mouth. When I hear that door open, I start praying, God, please don't let him open up his mouth. But prayer never works. It comes wide open. And I get angry. I don't even know why I'm angry anymore. I'm just angry when I see him." The guitar girl, she says, "Jesus, I guess this is what you call an angry mob." Peter starts to draw his sword. Jesus said, "Would you put that away? It doesn't always get this good. It's not always this real. People often never get to this point." The law says, Jesus says, anger isn't necessarily a bad thing, but let's stay focused. Anger, like resentment living inside you, will steal all the joy God has planned for you. All the joy in your marriage, all the joy in being a parent, all the joy of being a child, all the joy of being a friend, all the joy of being a choir member, all the joy of coming here every Sunday. It will just take it away. And one day you won't even know why you are angry anymore. The law says don't kill, but I say that kind of anger in your heart is already killing. It's killing you and the other person. That kind of resentful anger, it will keep you from the kingdom. I'm not keeping you from the kingdom. I didn't come here to keep you from the kingdom. Your anger and your unwillingness to deal with it will keep you from the kingdom. The Valentine's Day girl says, "What kingdom?" Jesus says, "The one my Father made for you here and the one he made for you there." Another voice says, "Well, what do we do? Kumbaya just ain't cutting it." Jesus says, "Take to peacemaking. Make peace and do it seriously." The woman with the old man problem says, "What if you don't want to make peace?" Jesus says, "Then your marriage and your friendships and your most precious relationships, all of them will get worse. And those resentful feelings that you have towards your husband that you think you can contain in that one relationship, they will spread to all of them." And a voice says, "What do you mean it'll spread to all of them?" And a man way in the back, he says, "I know what he means." And everybody looks back. And the man says, "In my apartment, we have a problem. We lose things. We lose the chapstick. We lose our shoes. We lose our computer cords. And we lose the keys to the car again and again and again." He said, "When my wife loses them, I get angry. And I walk around in my silent anger and I huff and I fuss until we find them. But when she loses them, I notice that she doesn't do that. She just helps me find the keys to the car." So one day when I realized this, and I went into the office, I talked to the receptionist, because the receptionist is like this wise woman beyond her years. And I told her this story, you know, just kind of while I was sipping my coffee next to her. I said, "What do you think?" And "What do you think?" And the receptionist said, "I wonder when your wife will stop asking you for help. Is that the kind of relationship you want with your wife?" Then she said, "I wonder which habit your children will pick up. Your angry habits or your wife's habits? Because one of them's easier than the other one." And then she said, "I wonder when your children will stop asking you for help. Is that the kind of relationship you want with your children?" The man said, "You know, humility is divine, but sometimes we are miles away from God, aren't we?" So he said, "It took me a few days, but I left and I came back to the receptionist. And I said, what do you think I ought to do about this?" And she said, "All I can tell you is what I did. I looked at the next 5 years of my life and the next 10 years of my life and the next 20 years of my life, and I asked myself the question, what kind of relationship do I want to have with my wife? What kind of relationship do you want to have? What kind of relationship do you want to have with your children? Make that decision, then come back and see me tomorrow." So that's what I did. Finally, the woman with the old man problem said, "Would you get to the point?" So the next day, he said, I went back and I saw the receptionist. And I said, well, I've decided. She said, well, what did you decide? I decided I want my wife to ask me for help to look for the keys. She said, that's a good decision. Good for you. And she gave him two rounds of applause. He said, well, what do you think I should do now? And she said, well, are you serious? And he said, yeah, I'm serious. And she said, well, you should pray. And the woman with the old lady problem says, that's what they always say when they got nothing to help you with. They say you should pray. I've been praying for 20 years. It ain't changed a thing. And then the man said, but she gave me a magic prayer. And she said, well, I can't wait to hear this because I'm going to try it myself if it works with your problem. She said, this is what I want you to do. Every time your wife loses her keys, I want you to say, thank you, God, for another opportunity to love my wife the way she loves me. And every time you lose your keys, I want you to say this prayer. Thank you, God, that my wife ain't an angry so-and-so like me. Amen? Why don't you do that for a while and come back? The woman with the old man problem said, did it help? He said, well, it took about 6 months. But it got better. And he said, then one day I found myself praying, God, I hope my wife loses her keys so I can show her how much I love her. How does this happen? Prayer, he says, prayer. Then the two young men sitting next to each other said, what about us? You think our parents will ever accept us? Long pause. Jesus got up, moved toward them, and as he did, the sun came out over Canal Street and Jeff Davis. And Jesus said, this world, it is glorious, but I have come because it is also broken. And those two things will always be here in some form. We are going to hurt each other every now and then. There are things that none of us control. I can't make you deal with your anger and resentment, and you can't make your parents accept who you are and affirm who you are. Every child needs their parents' affirmation, but sometimes you can't get it, can you? So stop looking for it. Your parents are probably doing the best they can, amen? Maybe they don't understand. Maybe they don't know how to love you. Maybe they want to, but they just don't understand. Look to God for affirmation. Look to your church for affirmation. And look for your friends to celebrate you. And God will be with you all the way. Amen? But do not let anger and resentment take hold of your heart for any reason. For it will steal all the joy God has planned for you. In your marriage, with your children, in your friendships, in your church, and in yourself. And pray, amen? Pray specifically. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall open. Pray and the keys of heaven will be found, amen? All right, give God some glory.